Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at denverfan.com. Presented by Siltahar Motors. The car buying experience is as easy as call, click, or come in at Siltahar Motors. Get upfront trade value with one call. Research and compare vehicles at sthmotors.com. Or come in and ask for Greg Larson and get $500 off any purchase. Siltahar Motors. Easy to find and conveniently located right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth. Siltahar Motors. Get everything you want out of a dealership.
Welcome to Four Down Territory. As Stink and Mike take a look at the four biggest stories in Denver sports. Here's Schlereth and Evans kicking it off with First Down.
That's a good question. You're trying to get me riled up there, aren't you? You know, the Raiders, I've been on a lot of teams and been around the Raiders a while. My dad coached for the Raiders for a little bit. So that was a unique family situation. But, just always having them around in the division and stuff like that. The Raiders are a great organization. They've been around for a long time, and I'm excited to go play them.
Yeah, we changed Nathaniel Hackett's song.
Yeah. Something a little bit more sober.
Sober. It's about December, though.
Yeah.
Better days ahead in December.
What do we got left in November? Two games left in November?
Yes.
This week and next week. And then we're on to December when we should light it up.
Oh!
How many games in December are
there? The Ravens don't know what's coming for them.
How many games do we have in December?
Four. At Baltimore, home against Kansas City, home against Arizona, and at the Rams on Christmas Day.
4-0.
That's right. There you go, baby. So, did Nathaniel Hackett lose even more support within Broncos country, praising the Raiders as a, quote, great organization?
What are you supposed to say?
What are you supposed to say?
Yeah.
Come on, you've been here long enough to know that nobody around here likes the Raiders. Play the game, man. Just play the game. Instead, he's like, my dad coached for them and... You know, they're a great organization. I got a lot of respect for them. No.
What would you say? What would you say? What would Mike Evans say on that?
Well, what I would say is we are so desperate for a win right now. I hate everybody. I hate everybody we play. Everybody we play, I want to beat with the intensity of 1,000 suns.
Yeah, but you don't want to
get quote.
Yeah, you don't want to get bulletin board material.
Oh, really? That's what I need to worry about right now? That I'm going to say something that's going to fire up the Vegas Raiders?
Mike Evans just punched a guy.
Yeah. I mean, the Raiders, listen, we need all the help we can get. We don't want to rile up the crazies.
Next and four down.
Second down.
Not really. I mean, I just don't think I'm comfortable with a lot of things, you know, just I've played a lot of ball. I mean, I've done a lot of things, you know, whether it's downfield throws, cross, you know, quick throws, whether it's, you know, running the ball, whatever it is, you know, all the things you can do in a football game, you know, I think we're capable of doing.
Russ has a little tell. Russ has a tell. You can tell he doesn't like a question and he gets a little bit defensive. His defensiveness does not come across in terms of, let's say, out-and-out anger. He gets these little giggles.
Mm-hmm.
He'll do these little giggles, and you could tell he didn't like the line of questioning, whether it was, hey, the perception is you'd rather be in shotgun and not want to be under center. No, I don't know why anybody would think that. And then, this one yesterday is the idea that Hackett says that, you know, I got to find ways to make Russ more comfortable. And you can tell he's like, whoa, you don't need to.
No, I'm comfy.
I'm good. Yeah. You don't need to worry about me. You don't have to make me comfortable.
Right. I got these warm, cuddly jammies. Are you in pajamagrams this year? I hope so.
It's a good point. I got to find out about that.
I would hope so.
I want to linger, baby.
You will. Yeah, he linger. He's got comfy
but you
jammies.
Can tell he was.
House slippers.
He did not like a lot of those questions because even though he came out early in the press conference and says, I got to be better. Yes. But he didn't like the questioning with the idea that there's anything really wrong.
Right.
That needs to be fixed. What I heard was a guy who believes in what they're doing And it's nothing that needs a major overhaul. It just needs more time.
So, I got to be better. You said it. I heard it. Question for Friday. What do you have to be better at? Break down your game. Where are you lacking? Right?
I can't wait to hear what your one-on-one sit-down conversation with him is like. Next and four down.
Third down.
Do your job and quit making shit up!
Hurricane coming to town. This is the first time he's been back here as a head coach.
Correct.
Here as a assistant a bunch.
Correct.
But absolutely. As a head coach.
Oh. Well, it would seem like, how in the world is Josh McDaniels safe? And did he get the dreaded vote of confidence from owner Mark Davis earlier this week? Well, actually, it would appear he is on safe ground, but not for the reason you may think. According to Bill Plaschke of the Los Angeles Times, was on ESPN's Around the Horn yesterday, or the other day, he said, quote, Raiders don't have the money to fire him, to pay him off. They are cash poor. Wait a minute, I thought the idea of moving to Vegas was it was going to open up all these revenue streams, and the Vegas would, and the Raiders would be flush with cash. But apparently the thing that is saving Josh McDaniels right now is that Mark Davis just simply doesn't have the cash to pay him off.
I still think that...
That's so Raider.
I still think
that is so Raider.
You have to win. Right? I mean, to really start getting flush with cash, you have to put a product out there that people, I don't know, will pay to see. Right?
How can an NFL owner be cash poor?
Inconceivable.
They're printing money around that sport. Yeah. TV deals, personal seat licenses. They're drawing well in Vegas. How can you be cash poor?
I mean, you know how she spends on his hair?
Good point.
Those haircuts.
Oh, man.
He daily has. How expensive
is that bowl put on his head before they cut
that
around?
That thing is from the Ming Dynasty. So it's very, that very,
very, very, very.
Yeah.
That bowl is priceless. Okay, third and long for the second straight day. We need Marquette.
The king is here.
Thank you. Coming up. So, Russell Wilson, I want to just play a bunch of his sound from yesterday and see if you're hearing the same thing I am, okay?
Mm-hmm.
As you get ready to visit with Russ one-on-one tomorrow. That's next.
Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Hold on a second. Gotta catch my breath.
What happened?
You hurt me.
What?
You hurt me. No, you physically hurt me.
I did?
I'm playing in pain right now. I might have to. I might really need to talk to HR. So you need to realize you're not playing offensive line anymore. Okay? So during the break, Mark's showing me some of the Broncos.
Oh,
poor blocking schemes.
Did I?
And you showed me this one play, and you're like, okay, here's what's supposed to happen here. Mm-hmm. Okay? You're lined up over me.
Right. We have enough space in the new studio where we can actually do one-on-ones and stuff.
So we just did a one-on-one. And you're like, come here, let me show you. Here's what he's supposed to do. He's supposed to, at the snap, reach out with his right arm and stab this guy in the chest, and then open up.
But never look at him and open your hips at the same time.
Just stab the guy. He goes, all right. So I start to move. He goes, no, get back over here. He goes, all right, you ready? All right, go. All right, hike. I start to move, and he just reaches out with his right arm, piston-like, boom, right into my chest.
Yeah.
That hurt.
Did it? I forgot about the cow valve, too.
I know. I think you, shocked me back into rhythm or something. Dude, I apologize. You stat. That was.
Yeah, I know how to use my hands.
Ladies and gentlemen, the great Mark Schlereth.
Yeah, but at least the guys that you stabbed in games had, shoulder pads on and breastplates on.
As a matter of fact,
that was just my poor exposed
I was doing the Washington game.
Yeah, that hurt.
I was doing a Washington Vikings game
right now.
A couple weeks ago. And so I'm on the field before the game. and the O-line coach, the O-line coach of the Commanders. I'm walking by, and he's working with some young guys. He goes, hey, he told his young guys, that's a legend over there. Hey, you want to come teach them some things? You want to come teach them how to do this? And I was like, no, you're good. You're doing a great job over there. Anyhow.
Let me tell you, your little hand stab there. Whew.
Yeah, I always had good. Good hands.
That still packs a little bit of a wallop.
Huge.
Knocked my breath away. Took my breath away.
I apologize. I didn't mean to. That was you.
I know. You can't help yourself. Yeah, you just start talking about offensive line play.
I just have good technique.
Your technique is still.
My technique is impeccable.
Still. Very good technique.
Thank you.
I got to catch my breath here. So it was funny listening and watching Russell Wilson yesterday because there was a line of questioning throughout that it was all, Russ, what's wrong? Russ, what's going on? Russ, why isn't this offense clicking? Russ, should you be open to trying this kind of stuff? Maybe try something different. And you could tell there was a defensiveness that he just doesn't, at least to me, came across that he just doesn't understand all the fuss, basically. And there were these crutch sort of tell defensive laughs. That came out when he was answering these questions. So here's a little sample. Tell me if I'm off base here and not hearing what I heard. Okay, here's the first one. Go ahead.
Well, we mix it up. I think each game dictates itself, you know, based on what the defense, who the defense is, who they have on defense, everything else. I think all of that's good. You know, I enjoy being under center. I enjoy being the gun. I enjoy just being out there. You know, it doesn't matter.
But it's pretty lopsided.
Yeah.
Generally speaking, it's pretty lopsided.
Yeah.
And it hasn't worked.
Yeah. I think that it doesn't necessarily mean that everything under center is going to work always, too. And it doesn't mean anything in the gun doesn't work. You know, I think you got to be able to do it all, like you're saying. I think you're exactly right. You know, you got to be able to mix it up and be under, be in the gun.
See, that was something that came from both Wilson and Hackett yesterday that bugged
right.
me, was both of them saying, we got to be good at everything. Mm. We got to be able to do this. We got to be able to do that. And the whole time I'm listening to it, I'm in my ears, my head is ringing you saying, they got to dumb this thing down. Not try to do all this stuff. Dumb it down.
When my son was pitching at the University of Arizona, they asked me to help them out with their football program. And Mike Stoops was their head coach. And he come into our offensive meetings and he go, hey, man, I have a tough time defending this. We need to be better at running the gap scheme. I have a tough time defending. This always gives me a problem. Like, we need to be better at the counter. I got a tough time. Lead ISO has always bothered me. You know, I got to be better at lead ISO. And I said, would you stop it? He's like, what? I go, you can't be good at everything.
Right.
Pick a lane.
Yes.
Pick a lane.
Relax.
Wait, can I just... Give me the first, because there's something bothered me about that, Johnny. Just like this first sentence, Russell's first sentence, just really quick.
Well, we mix it up. I think each game dictates itself.
Timeout. Yeah, you hate this. Oh,
timeout.
I should have picked up on this. Yep.
Each game dictates itself. Well, give it to me one more time after the dictates itself.
Well, we mix it up. I think each game dictates itself, you know, based on what the defense, who the defense is, who they are on the defense.
I don't give a rip who the defense is. I don't. Each game does not dictate itself. We dictate as an offense to the defense. Do we have adjunct plays based upon a guy that's just an absolute war daddy? Absolutely. Of course we do. Right? Are we going to find a way to block that guy in pass pro? Of course we have to, because he's a war daddy. But we dictate to you. We don't change week by week by week. Based upon, oh, they're really good at this. Ooh, ooh. I just want to go boo, boo, right? And watch them wet their pants.
Well, you can do that tomorrow. Here is Wilson responding to Hackett earlier saying that he's got to find ways to make Russ more comfortable.
Not really. I'm comfortable with a lot of things, you know, just I've played a lot of ball. I mean, I've done a lot of things, you know, whether it's downfield throws, cross, you know, quick throws, whether it's, you know, running the ball, whatever it is, you know, all the things you can do in a football game, you know, I think we're capable of doing.
Hey, you don't need to make me comfortable. I'm good.
I'm good.
This ain't my first rodeo. I'm good. There's nothing. You don't have to dumb it down for me. I'm good. And then that little defensive giggle at the start. Here's another one. The perception that he wants to be in shotgun all the time and does not like being under center. Hold on. Listen again for the little defensive chuckle or laugh.
No, not at all. I think we've been able to do a lot of different things along the way. I've been under center a lot in my career. I've been the gun quite a bit. I've been, you know, done a lot of different things. Down the edge, you know, done a little bit of everything.
See, part of me admires that because you can't get to this level without a healthy amount of ego. But there was coming through loud and clear with I can do this. I can do this. Don't think I can't do this.
Right.
I can do it.
Here's the deal, though. You have done it over the course of your career, and you've done it exceptionally well. You've just done it exceptionally well. So that's great. You know what you're not doing right now? Anything exceptionally well. There is nothing that I can point to in this offense that says you can hang your hat on this. If you know, hey, man, I'm open to the text line. If you've seen anything in this offensive structure that you think you can hang your hat on, please enlighten me. I'd like to have it for the game. But at this particular point in time, I've seen nothing that gives me any, you know, any amount of confidence.
The whole tone was, whoa, hey. We're good.
We're good. Relax.
Nothing to see here. What's trending coming up next? NFL scoring is down. Lowest it's been in over a decade. Is it being reflected in how you are watching these NFL games? Details next.
Here's Schlereth and Evans with what's trending right now.
Well, despite the fact that NFL scoring is as low as it's been in over a decade, you'd think it might affect the TV ratings, but nope. Check this out. Last week's Dallas-Green Bay game, 30 million people watched it.
Wow.
It was the number one most watched NFL game of the season. You know what had been number one? Bengals-Cowboys in week two had 27 million. I know that all of us are sick and tired of the whole Cowboy thing and why the national media fawns over the Cowboys even when they have been irrelevant on the playoff scene for two decades now. But they rate, man. In fact, they are expecting just monster TV ratings for Thanksgiving Day. Cowboys, Giants.
Oh, that's going to be huge. That's going to be, huge.
So why are NFL TV ratings, and they're up all across the board.
Yeah.
The only ratings that aren't doing well are the Thursday night Amazon games, and they've had a lot of bad games. So why,
People can't find them. Why? And when you're streaming games, Mike, you can't flip in and out of stuff.
Good point.
So you flip out of it, and it takes you 5 minutes to get back to the game. So, yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
So why, despite scoring being down, are the ratings so high?
People love football. I mean, games are close. They're one-score games. Maybe it's not so much about scoring as it is about competitiveness.
I think you're right.
They're competitive, man. Yep. And your team's got to, even if you look at the Monday night game. Washington Eagles, 8-0 Washington versus 4-4. 8-0 Philly versus 4-4. Eagles? No, I said that wrong again. 8-0 Eagles versus, because it's the Commanders thing that's got me screwed up. I'm trying not to say the old word. 8-0 Philly versus 4-4 Washington. And Washington dominates the line of scrimmage and wins a football game with a guy named Heinicke. Come to think of it, I'll have a Heinicke.
I don't know if that's right, but good try.
Yeah, no, that's it.
Speaking of Taylor Heinicke.
Mm-hmm.
The Vikings are mad. The Vikings are mad because after Washington won, they got on their plane and they did the same thing with Taylor Heinicke that they did with Kirk Cousins, putting
the chains on him. Yeah.
And even Heinicke was kind of like, I don't know if I really want to be doing this. This is kind of lame. But anyway, Chris Boyd of the Vikings went off on Washington. Said, stop trying to bleeping be us. Lame. He couldn't hold Kirk's jockstrap. find your own trend. Y'all don't even look like you're all having fun enjoying it. Is it kind of lame that Washington basically stole the Viking celebration?
That is lame. But what's not lame is he was drinking a Busch Light. I mean, come on. Light.
He had one of those little plastic trash cans that you see in every office.
Yeah.
Every office you've ever been, just a little trash can in the corner. He's got one of those in the seat next to him, filled with a bag, filled with ice, and Busch Lights.
Busch Lights.
Awesome.
Taylor Bush. Heineke.
Head for the mountains.
Head for the mountains.
Bush.
Yeah. No. They stole it.
So the Vikings-Bills game. Epic game. Paul Allen, who is... Wow, if you're a Viking fan, what a treasure it is to be able to listen to this guy call games. So they had a video. They were filming him as he was calling the final frantic...
Yeah.
Moments of that Viking-Bills game, and the audio and the video has gone viral.
Cousins under center. Kirk sneaks. Pushed by C.J. Ham. And... Oh, he didn't make it.
They said he didn't make it.
They said he didn't make it.
You lucky suckers. Josh Allen, 6'5", 240. Watch this. Gabe Davis in motion. And Davis is behind Allen. And he tried to push him. He didn't get out of there.
He didn't get out.
He did not get out. That's a safety. Give it to us. Give us a safety.
Look at what's taking so long.
Oh, the ball came out.
Down.
Yes, the Vikings.
Are you kidding me?
The Vikings are going to win.
Are you kidding me?
Yes, drop that ball, Josh Allen.
That ball came loose.
Holy cow.
Allen back to pass in the pocket to the end zone.
Yes, it is captured by Patrick Peterson. And he slides down.
That's awesome.
He's a good dude, that's man. Great. I see every time I do a game, I see him. I always talk to him. He's always down there on the sideline doing his stuff. How much fun is that to have that kind of hometown?
Oh, he's a homer.
Just
a flat out homer. And if you're a Viking fan, you'd want it no other way.
Yeah.
So, Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Oof, that's good for you. Yeah, I just go Giannis
or the Greek Freak.
Yeah. I use either one of those.
He was asked if he is the face of the NBA, or who is the face of the NBA.
Uh-huh.
What do you think his answer was?
Steph Curry.
Okay, so you don't think he said, you don't think he agreed that he's the face of the NBA?
Yeah, I don't think he agreed that he's the face of the NBA.
And you think he said Curry?
Yeah, well...
LeBron James?
He said LeBron.
Oh, yeah, LeBron.
He said LeBron remains the face of the NBA. Do you agree with that? Is LeBron James still the face of the NBA? You're playing the quick, rapid word association game. Somebody says, face of the NBA is?
The first guy that came to my mind is Steph Curry. But I don't know that that's right either.
Boy, if I was... I think I'd go with Steph. Yeah. I think I'd probably say
Steph.
You
know what's amazing about Steph is... You know, when you and I grew up watching the NBA, it was a big man's game, right? If you didn't have a center, you couldn't win. That was just kind of the way it was. And then it kind of morphed a little bit with the triangle, you know, and they didn't have a dominant center, but they had a dominant shooting guard in Michael Jordan, another dominant player in Scottie Pippen. They had, you know, they had good guards that could shoot. But it's really changed to a small man's game, you know, getting small and running the court and all that stuff. Steph Curry has created a whole generation of fans. Like, he's changed the NBA. Whole generation of fans that root for Steph Curry because they're looking at it going, hey, man, even if I got to 6 foot, if I can shoot, man, I could be in the NBA. Like, he's inspired a whole generation of people to play the game.
Yeah, you're right. I don't have to be born 7 feet tall in order to have a chance. That is what is a trending. Coming up next, it is a What Does the Film Say Thursday. And Mark will tell you what the film says when it comes to Broncos pass catchers. Are they winning enough? And are they helping out or really hurting Russell Wilson? That's coming up next.
Loosen up those joints and muscles. It's time for your 7:45 stretch. Here's Schlereth and Evans with the biggest story in Denver sports.
It is a Thursday. What Does the Film Say Thursday? New feature. And, boy, you have been... awesome this week. I've had so many people reach out to me and say, man, Stink has been just killing it with his breakdown of what's going on with the Broncos this week. And by the way, just quick little aside, we're saving Phrase That Pays till tomorrow because it's a Friday. We like to get loose on Fridays. I think it's perfect to do the Phrase That Pays tomorrow.
Agreed.
So we'll do that tomorrow.
That way I won't have to actually pay attention.
Good. So.
Really busy. Very.
In breaking down the film this week, I am curious. I've been curious and I've been peppering you with questions. But one thing I'd like to know is the receiver's role in all of this. These offensive struggles. What's their role in it? So when you look at the film, just I'm going to give you a player and I want you to give me a quick little synopsis of what you've seen on film and how they do. What they do well, what they don't do well.
Can I just give you an overall offensive, real quick, sense or two?
Yeah, go ahead. Okay.
Every level of this offense has issues. O-line from a nuance, ability to block people, but the nuance of understanding where a guy lines up, who the threat is, what you, where you're weak at. Like, there is not much nuance being coached. And you got the right slide. You don't understand the leverages and you don't like you get yourself edged and you get yourself in problems all the time because there's not enough nuance. Like this is a skill and there's not enough nuance in there. So they give up a lot of plays there. Russell Wilson does never want the theory is take what they give you. If the first read in the progression is open, take it. Russell bypasses the first read because he's going deep to short instead of short to deep. All the time. And that's where you get yourself in trouble. And especially if you're an offensive lineman, think about this real quick, Mike. You're an offensive lineman and you know the ball's supposed to be out. So you up kick. Bam, I tack. Now I give late pressure. Well, if the quarterback doesn't throw it and he ends up getting hit or sacked, that's on the quarterback because the ball's supposed to be out. You're not supposed to go deep to short. So that's Russell's issue. That's the O-line issue. And then receiver issue, we're not in sync. We're not winning enough routes.
All right, let's talk about these guys individually and what you see on film. Let's start with the one guy who we know will be out there on Sunday. That's Cortland Sutton.
No juice at the top of his route. Exceptionally coverable. I mean, what he can do is use his big body and get between the DB and the thrower. But he is not getting separation. He is not dynamic. He's exceptionally coverable. He never forces guys to get out of their back pedal so they can absolutely stick their foot in the ground and transition. Da-da-da! And they'd be attacking and running downhill to break up passes. So he doesn't close cushion. He doesn't have any juice.
Jerry Jeudy.
Exceptionally quick. Really good at the top, in and out of his breaks. Really good. Has to be the problem with Jerry Jeudy in my mind is he knows the progression. He knows when he's number one and he knows when he's number three.
What's the difference?
Number one, man, I'm looking for the ball. I'm getting number three. It's not coming to me. How many times have you seen a ball go over Jerry Jeudy's head and he's blissfully unaware?
There was another one this last week down the left sideline.
Blissfully unaware the ball's coming to him.
Jeudy!
You know why?
Not. I'm sorry. Going back to the Jacksonville game.
Yeah. You know why? They're not going to throw. I'm third in the progression. He's not throwing it to me. So you tell me
how when he's the third option. How you just use the word with Cortland Sutton? He's so coverable.
Mm-hmm.
Jeudy becomes because he's telling him right. He's telling the defender just by his action that I'm not the number one.
Sure. How you run the route, how you get out of the route, how you bust across the field, whatever it is. I mean, I've seen at least four or five throws that went to him that went over his head and he had no idea the ball was coming to him.
Yep.
He never picked up on it. Why? Because he didn't expect it.
Okay, we're off to a great start here.
All right.
KJ Hamler.
Every seventh game, that guy can run.
Jeez.
Ooh.
Oh, my God. So when he plays?
When he plays, he's an issue. When he plays, man, you got to protect over the top. I'll tell you the other thing, man. I've seen him throw some blocks. I've seen him do some things. Like, I've been impressed. Like, for a little guy, I didn't think he was going to be all that. He's been all that. But he plays once every 7 weeks, you know? I mean, the problem with track guys, like, he's a track guy that I think is a good football player. And I didn't necessarily think that coming out of college.
No, you didn't. You weren't. No, you weren't.
But
he's won you over a little bit, if he could play.
Yeah, he's like, he ain't afraid to stick his nose in there. The jet sweep against Jacksonville.
Yep.
The jet sweep, KJ Hamler got after a DB. And that raised the level of KJ Hamler in my book. I'm like, okay, you can play for my team. Because I guarantee if the roles were reversed, 10 ain't doing that. I don't believe that 10 will do that. If KJ was running that jet sweep and Judy was asked to go out there and do, he wouldn't come out there with that kind of vim and vigor.
Can't do it.
Dulcich.
Dulcich is a pleasant surprise. Dulcich is, I think he's a good player. He's a willing participant blocking people. That's why you don't see Albert O playing anymore. Willing participant. So he'll get in there. He'll mix it up. And that dude can run everything. That dude's good at creating separation at the top. Like, I think he's a good, yeah, he missed a block on a bubble screen. You know, he went the route of Cortland Sutton on bubble screens, missed one. But space, sometimes I understand that it's hard. I don't care that it's hard. Everybody's job is hard, right? Do your job. Just get it done. But I've been pleasantly surprised. I mean, he's got a good feel for the game, good feel for coverage, good feel sitting down in zones, and good feel working away from leverage, and good feel at the top of his route, creating, like, you've got to create separation. That's what your job is, and I feel like he's done that.
So give me one word overall to describe the Broncos pass catchers that you watch on film.
Oh, one word to describe them. Average.
It's kind of where I thought you were going to go. Yeah. You start stacking it all together, the issues with the offensive line. And by the way, you're right about the whole nuance of the offensive line. I'm just a fan, right? I'm a fan that over the years has been lucky enough to talk to a lot of guys that played the game. I try to learn. And you showed me some stuff, just a couple of plays, just offensive line play. I'll leave the names out. And just the lack of, when you set it up, you're like, okay, here's the look. Here's the play. Here's what the guy is supposed to do. And then you run the play, and even a dummy like me can look at it like, oh, my God.
Right.
That is bad. That is bad technique.
Right.
And it goes back to your classic line. You're either coaching it or you're allowing it to happen. And I'm just seeing two or three plays out of 60 that are just bad, poorly coached.
Yeah, even
poorly coached, or the player who's been around for a while doesn't get it.
Everybody, like, you're doing the right thing. You've diagnosed where the issue is. You've got the term protection or whatever it is. So you know where you're supposed to go, but the technique you use puts yourself in harm's way because the nuance is not there. The understanding of where your problems are. And that's coaching. Like, for players, when I see that, I go, well, that guy wasn't coached. He wasn't told that this is the issue, because that technique he's using is piss poor technique. I showed you a play where a tight end, you're on a levels concept with a, like, three levels, right? You want to be in the flat, something deep, something crossing over the top. So you've got a levels combination off of a boot keep game by Russell Wilson, right? First game against the Raiders. Max Crosby's on the edge. He's inside shade of the tight end. You're running what we call pin flat, meaning tight end, clip the guy, hold him for 1,001, get to the flat. That's the timing of the play. It is a play run by every single team in the league. 100% of them run it. That block with that D end inside is one of the easiest blocks you can possibly. He's already inside. All you want to do is hit him, keep him inside so the quarterback can get outside of him. Tight end jumps in the middle. Max Crosby goes flying upfield. Russell Wilson turns, because his back's to him, turns around, gets a mouthful of Rydell. It's the easiest block in the world, and you jump inside. Now, is that a dumb player, or is that dumb coaching? I'm not over there, so I don't know. But that's, you just made the easiest block in the world. You took the easiest block in the world and created a sack because you don't understand the nuance of the play. And that is unacceptable. And then I go back to coaching. Well, obviously it's not being coached because he jumped into the middle of that guy, right?
It was obvious. And here's the thing about it is having had the chance all week to look at the film that you've been looking at, and you've been able, and you've been very gracious in breaking it all down and showing me different examples. Here's the thing I can report back to Broncos country. Just me as a fan talking to you as a fan. This thing is broken. I mean, I'm not breaking any news here about how bad this offense is, but here's the problem. There is nothing when you look at this team on film that you can point to and say, aha, there it is. Fix that.
Right.
And you'll be okay. Because you've shown me so many examples this week, and this is just in the last couple of weeks. Right. This isn't like going back to week one. This is in the last couple of weeks, 7, 8, 9 games into this season, where there's Russell Wilson. What the heck are you looking at? There's the offensive line. Dude, how do you think that's a good block?
Right.
Receivers. That's what you call running a route? And the problem is that no matter how much I could come out here today and say they're close, better days are ahead, there is such an across-the-board systematic breakdown going on every single play. I can't in good faith come out here and tell you that this thing is close. It's a mess.
Yeah, this is where your appendix bursts and you're systemic. You know, you got poison all in your body. Like there is
that,
because you always want me to give you a reason. Like, who's at fault?
Right.
You always say that.
Yeah, please let me know.
And I always tell you, sometimes I can point, but here I can't point to one person or one thing, because on every play, somebody poops in their helmet. Like there is not. Like, offensively, you look at this team. If this team was tidy whities, every one of them would have a big bacon streak down the center of it.
It's no one's fault other than everybody's.
That's where we would be right now.
Why do you have to do that to bacon?
You may go skid mark.
Fine.
Skid mark's better.
Fine.
You don't want
leave bacon out of it.
Well, because
what did
you know,
bacon do to deserve this?
Bacon is delicious.
Bacon is good.
Bacon is delicious.
Okay. Let's not bring bacon into this. Please.
Yeah, let's not drag bacon. Right. Let's not besmirch the name of bacon.
Yeah, bacon didn't ask for this. Okay?
So anyhow, listen, you're going to put a staff together. Well, you're going to put a staff together that, dude, I don't know who the guy is on that staff. I volunteered. I'll go over there and rip ass. I can go over there.
You're going over there tomorrow.
I just don't know, like, that's the little stuff that I look at. But, again, that's how I made a living. That's how I stayed in the league for 12 years with the injury issues I had, is I could never put myself in bad position. So you had to understand what the issues were. Like, every play that I think about when we break the huddle, what are my potential issues? What do I have to guard against, right? What issues does this play present based upon the alignment of the defense? And then the other thing I always think about is, how do I funnel people? How do I make a guy go where I want him to go? Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, how do I do that? And if you don't have that mindset and you haven't studied to that level, it just is never going to work.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.